This is Jim from the Nordys Podcast. I want to tell you about American Mortgage Brokers and AmericanMortgageBrokers.com. This is a local company. They're small. They're trustworthy. They're friends of the pod. If you're looking to buy or sell a home or do a refi, there's two sites you need to know about. ShouldIRefi.com or ShouldIBuyOrSell.com. And you go to there, you plug in some information, and they'll tell you, does this make any sense for me? What can I do here? It's definitely worthwhile. If you're maybe a little farther along than that and you want to talk to somebody, have a real conversation about this, call Chelsea. She can do a mortgage review for you. Her number, 612-271-6574. AmericanMortgageBrokers.com. It's your place to get some lending. So they are an equal opportunity lender. NMLS number 284286. Let's go.
You're listening to the Nordys Podcast. I'm Eric. I'm here with Ryan and Jim. How are you guys?
Very well. How are you?
I'm great. Our second podcast of the week. If you guys didn't listen yet, make sure to go back and check out our first podcast, which was live at Northeast Minneapolis's The Draft Horse. And it had Wiz Khalifa's DJ and Go 95.3 personality DJ Bonix.
So, he's great. He was so awesome. Down to earth guy, smart guy, knew everything about rap that we could throw at him.
Yeah. Like way more than
that. Yeah, like way more.
Yeah, so it was great.
And what's crazy is, like, you know, these guys are radio personalities and, you know, they're going to interact with fans and be polite. He's just a cool, down to earth, awesome, super nice guy.
Yeah.
You can tell.
And he digs what we're doing, which I think is so cool because we dig what he's doing at an independent radio station because everything is fucking Clear Channel. I'll say it. He couldn't really say it because, like you said, he had friends at, you know, KDWB, but what, we don't care.
Yeah.
It's like 100 times better than that.
Yeah. So definitely listen to that. Go 95.3 and go to the Draft Horse in Northeast Minneapolis off 14th, which was a really cool place.
Boy, they got some good food.
Yeah.
It's some really good food.
Dude, the ribs and the charcuterie plate is nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, go great. Nuts. And, you know, we only got three samplings. I saw other stuff coming out of the kitchen where you're like, okay. Yeah, we'll take one of those to go if you can get it.
Yeah, it was great.
They were so hospitable, too. I mean, they really took care of us. So go check it out. I know you guys will love it. But really and truly, go back and listen to that episode. I thought it was a really fun one. It was a real fun interview with DJ Bonix. So go check it out and let us know what you think. Today, we're going to be doing a little sports cast. But before we jump into the sports cast, we need you guys to do us a favor. And that favor is follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Nordeast Podcast. Go to iTunes. Go to Stitcher. Go to
Podbean.
Stop.
Overcast. And Podbean. And find the Nordeast Podcast. Get it sent to your phone. It's a mental block at this point.
It's ridiculous.
It is.
It's on purpose for attention.
Just like the throat cutting thing in movies.
No. It's honestly, what's funny is that I go into it every time, and I think it's something with weather. Like, weather's in the name.
It is. That should be a clue to be like, oh, yeah, overcast.
I'm like, weather. I'm weatherly. Weather something. Every time. Right. I just panic.
Well, we got you.
Go there. Give us a follow and ask us some questions and do whatever. And then also, we got a second batch of our Nordeast Podcast snapbacks. The first batch went faster than we could have imagined. They're super cheap. They're only $10. There's three different colors. We have the Timberwolves, the Golden Gophers, and the Minnesota Twins. And then this time we added some beanies as well. So get your knit winter cap, stay warm, and support your favorite show, the Nordeast Podcast.
Yeah, DM us. We'll send it to you.
Yeah, pretty easy stuff. And then finally, we have a new local beer. It's been in their tap room for a while, so maybe a few of you have tried it, but it is recently canned. What are we drinking today?
Well, we're going with Strawberry Fields from Indeed Brewing Company in Northeast, sticking with Northeast. Strawberry Fields Sour Ale. Tart, citrus, strawberry, 5.7. I mean,
no, that's actually, they're sneaky with the booze then.
They
I would have guessed 4.5 or something. That's
it's
nice.
It's a little bit higher than you'd probably expect. I mean, the description of tart, citrus, and strawberry is a pretty apt description of what you're getting.
Yeah, just a little like mild hop in the background, very little malt, great for me. I think it's great. It's super drinkable. It's strawberry as hell, which it better be, given the name, the branding, and the look of the beer, which is kind of like a dark red.
I'm gonna go on record, and we've said this before. I'm going to say it one more time. We need more local sours. Go out there and try these.
Canned.
Like, yeah, more canned. Canned. Like, available. Yeah, right. Not necessarily like I have to go to a tap room to get it. I want to be able to buy it in the liquor store for $10 or whatever.
Yep.
Other than Fair State. I mean, they're really the only ones that are
indeed leading the pack now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two, Lucy and Strawberry Field.
That's true. And this one, I like this one a little better than Lucy.
Yeah. It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a session sour. So that was, there's your low ABV one.
Yeah.
I think I do like this one a little bit better too.
I like to get super drunk.
Just kidding. Okay. All right. That took a weird left turn. All right. Back to Eric.
Are you okay?
I have problems.
Yeah. So here we go. The starting lineup with our sports cast this week. And we're going to start with the Minnesota Vikings hiring a new offensive coordinator. This is a big move, and I think for a few days, the experts across the country thought it was in doubt. And the Eagles, who are the world champs, the Super Bowl champs, were gracious enough to let a coach interview with the Vikings a few days early, and boy, did it come back to haunt them. So John DeFilippo or DeFilippo, I haven't really heard which one
it is. I think it's a combination of what you just said. I think it's DeFilippo.
DeFilippo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so he is...
he was their QB coach.
Yep, he used to be the offensive coordinator for the Cleveland Browns. Lost that job or left with the coaching staff.
Yeah.
And then took up the quarterback's coach with Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia Eagles. Was working under offensive mastermind Doug Peterson, who is the head coach there, and Frank Reich was the offensive coordinator there.
Two former ex kind of backup-y QBs that had a lot of time on the sidelines to learn.
Yep. And so, I mean, they were some of the hottest names, him and Reich. Reich just got a head coaching job today with the Indianapolis Colts. Yep. So they probably...
After that douchebag from the Patriots turned him down?
Yeah, so if you think about it, the Eagles are probably really upset because they would have loved to have replaced Frank Reich with John DeFilippo.
Mm. Right.
Yeah, so it went really poorly for them, but it went really well for the Vikings.
So we should be excited about this? I haven't heard anybody talk about this yet, so you're going to have to tell me what
to
think.
So he's a 39-year-old who's learned from some of the best in the business. Was getting interest from, I believe, two teams. I think it was the Cardinals and the Bears gave him head coaching interviews this offseason.
Wow.
So he's kind of in that next coach crop of like young coaches, young offensive minds who teams are looking for to be their next head coach. So in just standard Minnesota fashion, people are already worried that he is a one-and-done guy and he'll be gone next year. And to that, I say, I hope so.
Because that means we won the Super Bowl?
That means we were really good, period. Yeah. And we had a really good offense, and we probably found a quarterback who works for us, and we're in a good position if he leaves. Because if someone's going to have him after 1 year of being an OC here, go take a head coaching job, it means we're in business.
Mm-hmm.
And then to protect from that in a controversial move, Kevin Stefanski, is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Stefanski, the quarterback's coach for the Vikings, was offered at least was offered an interview to be the offensive coordinator under Pat Shurmur, the new head coach and former OC of the Vikings with the New York Giants. And the Vikings said, no, you are not allowed to do that.
I didn't even know that was possible. I didn't know you could do that.
People are pretty heated about it in Minnesota and nationally that the Vikings would stop someone from getting a big promotion.
Why would Vikings fans be upset?
Because we're Minnesota nice.
Okay, because I think it's great.
I think it's great as well. And if they really think that DeFilippo or DeFilippo, whatever. What did you say?
DeFilippo.
It's DeFilippo. Overcast, Eric. Overcast.
Yeah. Overcast. If DeFilippo is as good as advertised, that they're kind of protecting themselves by keeping Stefanski around so that he could take over if indeed Filippo is a one-and-done guy.
Okay.
Or things go sideways. Offense, God forbid, sucks and is terrible. He's got Pat Shurmur's offense in his back pocket and would be able to step right in, implement that offense, maybe not necessarily to the level of what we have with Case Keenum, depending on who's at QB, but they have that in their back pocket should they need that, as opposed to like, oh, we have some random new guy who's our QB coach, doesn't really know much about offense, didn't really participate in play calling. So I think it was just more of a move to protect the offensive scheme than it was to say, F you, Shermer, for leaving, F you, Giants. I think it was just more, listen, sorry, we can't. We can't afford to lose you. It's a business decision.
Mm-hmm. Like, no, that's all it was. I feel the same way. I feel like the Vikings are saying with this move, hey, we understand that this is going to turn some people off and they're going to think this is a slimy move, but we're close and we're not going to be nice guys right now and harm our team to just be friendly and happy and nice and make everyone happy.
It's a business.
Yeah, it's a business.
We're trying to win football games.
You're under contract and we need you. You're a good coach.
Sorry. Okay.
And so I don't have any issue with it. I think Stefanski is probably annoyed, and I would assume that the Wolves will give him a little bit of a raise.
He's going to get a pay raise and he'll be fine.
Yep, and he'll be fine.
And he might get a offensive coordinator job.
Well, his contract's up at the end of next season. So what's going to happen here is if DeFilippo goes and gets a head coach job, then he'll move into this Vikings job. And if not, then they'll say, hey, you're a free agent. Go take whatever OC job you want around the league. So they're pretty much just asking him to wait one more year. And he's a young guy. He's a local guy. He's from Eden Prairie. And
he's worked his way up. Like, he's OG with the Vikings from way back in the day. I think he was like an office assistant or something. I don't know exactly what his beginning position was, but hustled.
Like a film guy, like you're doing basketball a lot.
Right, Eric Spoelstra kind of situation where just, worked his tail off, and now he's QB coach. I mean, I'm not saying he should be happy where he is, but, you got a pretty good gig. Stick with, you have a really good defense. I don't know why you'd want to go to the Giants. They're a mess right now. I mean, for the money, obviously, but stay here, win. And then it's actually going to build your brand even bigger, the better season we have when you become a quote unquote free agent coach.
He's got a big job ahead of him too.
Oh,
like, wouldn't you want to stick around and like see this thing through? Because we have a lot of controversy at the position. We need someone solid.
We have a quarterback.
I'm guessing that this was announced publicly, but I'm guessing that the Vikings told Stefanski a long time ago, if Pat leaves, we're not letting you go anywhere. So I guarantee this wasn't a surprise to him that he found out via Twitter that he wasn't going to be able to interview. I'm sure that this has long been in the cards.
Yeah, and honestly, the Vikings have no ill feelings for Pat Shermer. None. I'm sure on his way out that everybody on the coaching staff and the team and in the front office and the owners and everyone said, thank you for your good great luck. Service. Best of luck. We're not going to hold you back. Go get this head coaching job, and we hope it goes well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and he bailed them out. Or he bailed the offense out, essentially, after the whole Norv Turner debacle fiasco when he left, or, however that...
Was that this year or last year?
Last season. That just didn't pan out, and he had to take over blind, and then he was the old coordinator and did a really good job losing his starting quarterback and running back.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of people are now worried, I think, that this means that Nick Foles will be your next quarterback of the Vikings. I do not believe that is the case. Hmm.
You don't believe they should be worried, or you don't believe Nick Foles will be our next starting quarterback?
I don't believe both. I don't think they should worry because it's not going to happen. It's going to take too much to get him, and he is not young enough or has shown a consistent enough resume on leading teams that aren't just absolutely loaded.
Which we sort of are.
Yeah, but I just think the other thing is, like, I think they caught lightning in a bottle. And I think if you give everyone the offseason to work on the Eagles RPO with Nick Foles that they didn't even run all season long and there wasn't film on it, I think it's a little more difficult for him next year. And plus, the other thing is he'd be an easy trade target if Carson Wentz was healthy. But Carson Wentz went down at the beginning of December.
They need him.
They need him. A 9-month injury, that puts him back at the end of August.
Wow.
And if best case scenario, he makes it back for training camp for some of it, but
assuming everything goes to plan, right?
That's assuming things go better than plan.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, if everything goes to plan, he should be cleared right like a week before the season, and there's no way they're going to throw their young franchise quarterback into a game a week after being cleared from a knee injury. 0%. So to me, they would have to have an offer that would blow them away, and I just don't think they're going to get that. And I don't think it will be from the Vikings. I think Rick Spielman is sick of losing trades to the Eagles for quarterbacks.
Well, and especially with the way the NFL injury rules are for roster spots, they're going to have Wentz on IR to begin the season. Well, not necessarily on IR, but they're going to have him on some sort of deal, and then you can't bring him back, and you can't practice with the ones until whatever. You can only like train in another field, and you can't do any of that stuff. So
they probably won't do that because he'd have to be out until week 7.
I didn't mean IR, but I know that there are preseason injury rules that you have to have so many reps with whatever before you can actually just hop into the starting role. So
yeah,
and then the other thing with Stefanski, I just wanted to touch on this real quick. I think it's a good idea to keep some of the old guard in place in order to have the like help the new guy understand all of the current roster's strengths and weaknesses, so that you can say, you know what, yeah, I like the idea that you're going to run that play, but these receivers really aren't set up to do that. These receivers are really meant to do, you know, X, Y, and Z. And so you help mold the offense to the players as opposed to molding the players to this, you know, offense that, you know, new guy's going to bring in. So I think it's definitely a boon for the Vikings offense, assuming we actually sign a quarterback.
Yeah. Got to figure that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, we're not going to go into that every single week until it happens.
We'll just wait and find out when it happens. We'll talk about it and go from there.
We're a month away. And it will be really interesting to see who they think best fits this new version of the offense.
Do you think we're going to have one quick question? Do you think we're going to have a verbal agreement in place with someone prior to the actual, you know, available signing date? Or do you think we're
only if it's Bridgewater, because he's the only guy who probably doesn't have a lot of interest in seeing free agency, because he's a guy who could hit free agency and it could be crickets. And then his value, even with the Vikings, drops. So I think if the Vikings went with like a team friendly contract with heavy incentives for him, that was like, you're going to make $6 million. And if you start all 16 games, you make $10 million. And if you make the Pro Bowl, you make $15 million, you know, something like that, I think is the way that Teddy, you know, that's the kind of contract we could get him on. And I think we're the only team who's going to offer, we're offering him more than everybody else.
Yeah.
And so he's the only guy I think would not at this point wait to see what free agency brings. Keenum's going to see free agency no matter what happens at this point.
Yeah. Well, why wouldn't he?
Even if he wants to come back, he's going to say, hey, I have to see what's out there.
Yeah.
You got one shot to make a payday like that for a guy like Keenum, who's going to be in his, you know, 30-year season.
This is his window. Right. Like, he had a great year. It may never happen again. He needs to
get paid.
This
is going to set him up for
life. Yeah. So let's move on from the Minnesota Vikings, and let's move on to a team that we don't give enough attention on our podcast, and that's the Minnesota Wild. Is it time to start paying attention to the Minnesota Wild? They're currently the 8 seed in the West, and if you subtract their horrible start, where they were all banged up, they were didn't even have enough guys to skate some nights, they hardly could practice. Now that they've gotten a little healthier, you know, they've been one of the top probably 10 to 12 teams in the NHL since then. Is it time that we start paying a little bit of attention to the Minnesota Wild?
No, maybe a little bit.
So it's
been fun. It's been more fun to watch. I've watched a little bit more than I had in the first half of this season. You know, they beat the Blackhawks. That's fun.
So we're almost at mid-February. Probably start time to pay attention. I mean, we have the Hawks win. They're not very good. And then the night before, we blew a 3-goal lead, or 2 nights before, we blew a 3-goal lead to the Coyotes, who have 12 wins on the season.
Ouch.
I think it was a 3-goal lead in the third period. Even,
yeah, we lost in overtime.
Disgusting.
Right?
Yeah, we got a point, which is, you know, cool. We got a point. But, you know, leaving a lot of those points on the table, I think we're supposed to be like sixth for all the crap that we've blown. Yeah, I think so. The good news is Parise, you know, he had an interview the other day and he said he hasn't felt this healthy in 2 years, which is good to hear, especially this late in the season.
Is he
normally
playing it like it?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, normally this time of year, it's like Zach's out for a week, Zach's out for, you know, 10 games, you know, this kind of situation. We're just going to rest him until, you know, April when the playoffs start. Like Eric said, I mean, I think we have, other than Nino might still be on the IR or whatever for another few games.
Brodine just got hurt.
Oh, that's right. He just got hurt. Of course. And our D's already thin. I don't know. Eighth seed, listen, but we've talked about this. Hockey is the weird sport. All we got to do is get in the playoffs and who knows what can happen.
You can erase the seeds once you get in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It doesn't even matter. It's just random matchups in the playoffs and hopefully you come out on top.
Yeah.
So. And honestly, here's a good stat for you. In their last 16 games, the Wild have 10 wins, 3 losses, and 3 overtime or shootout losses. So they've gotten points in 13 of their last 16, including 10 wins.
That's great. And that's what you have to do. And the scary part is everyone above them is getting points too. Like, it's so hard to come by, you know, seven teams ahead of you losing, you know, around the same time, so you can actually gain ground. So hopefully they keep this up. You know, man, Boudreau looks, I'm surprised he hasn't dropped out of a heart attack this season. It's like the angriest. He's like Tibbs on steroids behind that bench this season. It's kind of scary to watch, like how red his face gets.
Yeah.
At times. I mean, we've taken so many dumb penalties. It's amazing that they are where they are. So hopefully, like Eric said, let's keep this going. Let's keep the momentum going. Let's keep getting points as much as you can, and then we'll see where things shake out.
There's, you know, there's 11 teams that could make the playoffs, and one of those teams is not the Chicago Blackhawks, a team we shut out last night. The Wild, with their shutout 3-0 win over the Blackhawks, are now 10 points ahead of them.
That feels so good.
It does. It feels great.
It's just weird.
That alone is a reason to watch a little bit, just to celebrate that.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's like if, I mean, the best example I could give would be
if the Patriots were 6-10 next season.
I think the Steelers was going to be my example. Okay. They're not maybe the best. They're not the most gifted team, but they're in the debate every single year forever.
Yeah. Well, but like the Blackhawks were winning titles like every other season. That was kind of like the Patriots. That's that was the angle I was going at.
No, that's fair too. They stink. They're in 12th place and they're 10 points behind.
And their roster is pretty much the same. Kind of weird.
Yeah. I just want to shout out that Bruce Boudreau looks just like a Porg from Star Wars. So next time you watch the game, just take a look. And you might be surprised.
Is that one of those things you can't unsee?
Yeah, I mean, I just look at him and I'm like, wow, he looks just like a Porg. And, of course, Tibbs looks like Penguin. So between the two of them, it's
like
pretty
entertaining. Like Danny DeVito Penguin?
Yeah, I mean, he looks like, and then he talks like a walrus. So it's quite the dichotomy.
Rotate! So, right now, the Wild are 2 points ahead of 11th place and tied in points for 6th place. If that shows you how close everything is. So, yeah, the Minnesota Wild. Good to have Zach back. It's good to have Charlie Coyle banging in some goals. Obviously, Stahl and Zucker have been good all year long. And, yeah, I think we have been unfair to them.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't a very fun product.
It was a bad product.
Quite a long stretch. It was a bad product. I think that was fair. But maybe now you're right. This is a good way to introduce it. Should we start respecting a little bit, watching a little bit? And I still say no. I will start watching games when they're like either on the edge of the playoffs or in the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, and we even talked about this way back at the beginning of the season of will this be the bizarro season where normally we come out of the gate hot, winning games, going nuts. January, February rolls around, start to cool down, a little bit of a swoon. Oh my God, Dubnyk's hurt, this person's hurt, Parisi's hurt, Suter's hurt, the whole thing falls apart. Well, we did it the opposite.
Yeah.
We're horrible.
And you should finish your thought there, right? So like in that season, we squeak into the playoffs and then lose right away.
Right.
So maybe in this season, the bizarro season, we can still sneak in, that's fine, but maybe we win some fucking series.
Sneak in and then get hot late, right?
Hot late as opposed to hot early.
Right. Win like 8 in a row going into the playoffs.
Like the only good thing about hockey is that seeds just don't matter as much.
Jeez, it's my first podcast. Sorry, everybody.
Calm down. Quit trashing the equipment. Yeah, I mean, like you said, anybody can win. So just get in and let's go.
All right, guys. Yeah, it's time to move on from one team that we've disrespected all year to another team that we've disrespected all year. And that team is Minnesota United FC. So some news with them this week as they move from whatever janky channel they were on last year to Fox Sports North, the same station that has the Minnesota Twins.
They're on WGN or something like that.
Yeah, now they have the Minnesota Twins, the Minnesota Wild, the Minnesota Timberwolves, and Minnesota United.
So. And I will say, the broadcast, I think it was on the CW. I think that's what they were on, and the broadcast was unbearable.
Oh, really? Well, that's not
bad. I mean, it was like watching a high school hockey broadcast, but like terrible teams, like not like Edina, you know, or somebody or one of the private schools that has like really good.
Yeah,
it was sort of.
I mean,
janky.
We're lucky with Fox Sports North. Honestly, they do a great job.
They do, and I think this is going to be big,
especially the Timberwolves. Bro, I mean, all of it, really. But
I think this is big for Minnesota United, and I believe this is their last season before their new stadium opens. Is
yep.
that right?
Yep.
So their new stadium is going to open up in St. Paul, and that's going to be an absolute game changer mm-hmm. because the tickets will probably be cheaper than the other four big sports here for male athletes.
Well, other than it's tough to find cheaper tickets than the Twins, man.
Yeah,
they got pretty cheap seats.
But they're going to have, you know, maybe it will be difficult the first few games to find seats, but there are going to be a lot of cheap seats, and they're going to attract a really fun young crowd. It's going to be like the St. Paul Saints crowd, but you
more
know,
passionate
a little bit better product than that. And so,
well, a lot less goofing around.
Yeah.
Right. St. Paul Saints mean to put on like kind of a circus in between innings. Yep. Like, and that's intentional. It'll be actually like serious.
But they also play at a beautiful field in
for
St.
Sure.
Paul. And, you know,
it's on the right side of St. Paul, too.
Yeah.
Because if it was on the other side of St. Paul, I would just never go. But this is like right in there. I mean, it's just by Surly. It's not far in
You're
at all.
You're such a St. Paulist.
I just can't handle it.
Yeah, so
it's
that's
tough over there.
I think it's a huge move, and I'm a person who hasn't paid really any attention to them. I like soccer quite a bit.
I think they have new kits too, don't they?
Yeah,
have you seen them?
So just today they announced their new kits, jerseys. They only showed the home ones. And I'm going to show you guys. I'm going to hold it up for you. This is great. If you're watching our Facebook, you're going to be able to do this. Honestly,
just Google
unless
it.
You're driving, you should just take out your phone right now and look up Minnesota United kits. And you can do this with us.
Did they do the photo shoot in like horrible brown lighting again?
No, they did it in the rotunda in Mall of America. And there's a ton of people, or like thousands of people, it looks like, that showed up. It was packed. They sold jerseys there. They sold their new scarves.
So they read the feedback on the Facebook post of the original kits of why are they poop brown?
Yeah, it was so confusing. That I mean, the kits weren't even all that bad. I hope they're better. Is there red on them now?
Yes, there's a little bit of red. So
we have an alt logo for the Northeast podcast in that style, and it's really cool, but nobody cares about MNUFC, so we never use it.
So here's the first picture I'm going to show you. It's the whole team up there with the goalie jersey.
Ooh,
as well.
With the stripes?
Whoa.
It's got light stripes in it. It's like a gray and light gray jersey.
That's way better.
With the Adidas stripes down
the
side.
They shrunk
the
target down a little bit, too.
Yep, and it's got everything in white. It's got the cool logo, and then it has no collar, but it has a red button on it, which
that's awesome. It's like the eye of a loon.
Yeah, so there it is. It's got the one red button. It's the same as the red eye on the loon, like you said. Yeah, I think they turned out pretty cool. I think they're much better than last year's, where they had like the sash stripe down them.
Yeah, I like that. I was okay with it. But these are better.
Yeah, so this is...
Oh, and the back has no stripes.
Yep, no stripes on the back. Front's got stripes. And yeah, I think they're cool. I think Adidas does a great job. It's got the little logo on the bottom, too, which is a fun little detail.
It's got the three blue stripes on the side, Adidas style.
Yeah, and then on the inside it says Forever United. I don't know. That's pretty lame, to be honest with you. But yeah, I think they turned out pretty good. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think it's a product I'd watch if it's on FSN. And I mean,
it's something
I like to watch sports
if
there's nothing else on.
And
have you watched games before?
Very few, to be honest with you. And
we should get out there. We should go to one.
Yeah. I think we need to do that. And honestly, if anyone's got any cool connections to Minnesota United and they know someone who'd be great to come on our show and tell us more about it.
I was talking to some player on Instagram that was going to come on. But, of course, I haven't heard of any of the players except for Christian Ramirez. But you seem cool. Maybe we'll make that happen.
Yeah, and they're actually in the process right now of trying to sign some really fun players. So MLS is a horrible league. I'm going to go on a little bit of an MLS rant.
Okay, go.
The MLS is a terrible league.
I'm with you, 100%.
And it's been bad since its inception, because the problem is they weren't able to attract stars. They play by different rules than literally every other soccer world on Earth.
Every other league on Earth.
So everyone else in the world plays on a certain season. We play on a different season. Everyone else has the same system of like academies where you develop your own players. And then, you know, they come up and then either better teams buy them or you play them on your senior team, whatever it is.
But this is America, so we need a draft.
We have a draft. And then everyone else doesn't have playoffs. We have playoffs. I mean, it's just silly. It's so, like, egotistical to think that we can just do soccer better than literally everywhere else on Earth that's doing it well.
And they went with, they just have this mentality of, well, all the other sports are doing it. We should do it exactly the same way. Even if it's not beneficial to the product, because that's the way they play it everywhere else. So there are going to be people that are, you know, they're either from like Germany or Latin America or Europe or anywhere else. And they're like, why would I ever watch this? This is so different than anything that I've grown up watching or that I appreciate. So I agree with you, Eric, 100% MLS. Imagine if they did a salary capped relegation. Well, maybe not even, doesn't even have to be salary cap, but something like that, because it's a young league, you probably want to put a little cap on something that there's a certain amount of spending rules. And they had relegation, and it was different than every other sport. Yeah. And everyone was like, oh, wow, there is actual stakes to sucking.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. you can't just tank and get the first pick, and then you get some, you know, whatever college guy or whatever they do or whoever they draft.
And those guys suck,
too. They're not good.
They're not even good players. We got the number one pick in the draft last year. We took Dunlady, and he was, like, okay. He was, like, an okay player. Like, no one in the world was, like, trying to sign him from us. He was the number one pick in the draft.
And then you get, like, this dispensation to sign one massive international player. So everyone signs a washed-up 38-year-old from the Premier League or the Bundesliga.
Hey, John Terry, are you interested in coming over here?
Frank Lampard. Yeah.
Oh, Steven Gerrard.
Schweinsteiger. All these guys.
Pirlo. Yeah. It's just, like, all, like, midfielders. It's
retirement home.
That are guys who are just making a last paycheck. And, I mean, the next one is going to be a huge name. It's going to be Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who plays for Man United.
He'll come over to the...
He's going to. He's going to play for the LA Galaxy. I mean, as soon as this season's done here, he's going to head on over, and he's going to come over.
He'll probably tear it up. He'll be one of the best players in the league.
A few goals in his first season. He'll be really good, and then he'll be so slow and washed up. And the thing is that these old guys, they don't do well here, because if there's one thing that we do well in the United States, it's big, fast, strong, and physical. And we might not be beautiful players, and we might not be very skilled, but there's a bunch of athletes running around on that field.
And we do it on field turf, so it really beats up your old joints and ligaments.
So these guys who come over here and they've lost a step, they don't do very well in the Premier League, in the MLS, even if they are far superior in their ability and their knowledge. Mm. They're a step slow, and so they stink, and they have these huge contracts. So I will give the MLS credit, because they have made a huge change in the last probably 18 months, where instead of trying to chase these names that people are familiar with, they are trying to go out and get the names from countries that aren't being scouted as much or are more difficult to scout from European teams. So how it works in Europe is a player needs to be able to prove that they have a shot of actually being on the team if they're from a different country, to even get a visa to work in that country. And so it's really difficult for European teams to sign 15-year-old kids
from Brazil.
Yeah. They can't really do it, because they can't prove, this kid's going to come here, he's going to work, it's going to work out, and you need to give him a visa. They can't really get that through unless they're just a phenom. So now MLS has said, it's really difficult for them to work in Europe, but it's not difficult for them to work here in the United States. And so now they're starting to sign all of these superstar potential young Argentinians, for the most part, some Brazilians, people from Central America, Chileans. And so it's getting kind of exciting. I mean,
but where are they plunking them in? Are they playing them in the NASL or like leagues?
There was a guy last year, and I shouldn't know his name. I think he was the player of the year. He played for Atlanta, and he just got sold to, I believe, Newcastle for big bucks. And he was a young guy who hadn't had an opportunity to go to Europe yet, played here for a year and was a phenom. The latest one is another guy from Atlanta who's become like the big spenders.
They're the hot spot now.
They signed this guy named Ezequiel Barco, who's an Argentinian winger who's really fast, really skilled, and probably is a future superstar somewhere in not the United States.
Yeah, right.
But hey, that's what they're doing. They're saying, you know what? We can buy these guys for 5, 10, 15 million, and we can sell them maybe for 50 million. And we'll have star players that are playing in our league. So Minnesota United is attempting to do that. Can we afford it? If we had the Wolves, we probably could have.
Is there a Brazilian kid that wants to come play in Minnesota in
who
March?
Who owns the team? I mean, it's not the Polads, is it?
No, it's the United Healthcare guy.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, I forget his name.
So the guy they're after right now, the big hot rumor, is a Colombian named Nicolas Benedetti. He's a 20-year-old attacking midfielder nicknamed the Poet. And we've offered $4 million for him. They want $8 million. Will it happen? Who knows? But I mean, those are the kind of guys who have big potential, probably are not long for this league. And when they prove that they're worthy of playing in Europe, you know, you could sell them for a large profit. And it's exciting to have some of this talent finally coming in. So a person who is so cynical and anti-MLS is saying, bravo, MLS, you're doing the right thing. You're trying to develop your own stars instead of just taking has-beens who stink. And, you know, I think the product will be better for it. And there's just no way the United States will be for long behind the likes of the Netherlands and, you know, like some of these smaller countries. Belgium.
Belgium puts out more top-tier soccer talent than, like, per capita than any other country on earth.
Yeah, and it's just like, we're not going to stay behind those, and especially their professional leagues. We're not going to stay behind their leagues for long. There's just too much money. There's too many sponsors. There's too big of a TV deal for them to continually be behind that. And so I think it's just really a good move that the MLS is making, and hopefully Minnesota United, who sucked last year, won't fall too far behind, and they'll do some of it this they're on their own, and they'll actually bring in some exciting young players. So
can I run something by you?
Yeah.
You know how in Minnesota we're always worried that, like, you know, Richard Pitino is going to leave for Alabama for more money, or
I think he's safe here for a while.
This season, yeah. But, like, prior to the season, everyone was like, oh, man, he's going to sign with another big, you know, Big 12 school or SEC school or whatever. Our new John DeFilippo is going to sign, you know, with a head coach.
Yeah.
Imagine if we start signing young soccer talent. This team gets really good, and they maybe get some national pub, and maybe we become legitimate enough that we may send some guys over to the Premier League. Like, how heartbroken are we going to be that we get these young 22-year-old guys that we're endeared to, and we welcome them into the community, and it's like, yeah, he signed with Chelsea, or he signed with Arsenal. Yeah, but
I like the Premier League. I watch the Premier League, so that'd be fun to see him.
You're right. That would be cool.
We would like it.
I think you should ask Ajax and Southampton how they feel about this, because that's literally what they've made tons of money doing and stayed in the positions they are in Europe.
Or what's the French team that sold?
Lyon is one of the big ones. Bordeaux.
No. The one that
Monaco.
Yeah, Monaco. Yeah, oh my God, they're just a factory. Same with Borussia Dortmund. Yeah, same deal.
Absolutely. So I mean, these teams that are just like developing superstars and then selling them for just massive, massive profits. And
that would be cool if we did that.
It would, and you know what that does? It affords you a lot more money to go play with to sign more future superstars. And even if MLS is just a factory for building great players,
cool.
That's exciting. And that's if cool. We get to see a bunch of those guys play here, and then you know they go off and they start for, you know, Chelsea or Liverpool or Arsenal or Real Madrid.
We're not going to compete with the EPL.
We're not.
So let's just do that. Let's be the feeder league. Perfect.
Be the feeder league with exciting young players instead of washed up has-beens. I don't really want to see a guy who used to be a great player play.
Yeah.
I just don't.
At his 38-year-old season. Like, no, that's not
I don't want to see that. I want to see, like, hey, look at this kid from, like, this tiny, well, he's from Bolivia, you know, and gosh, no one knew who he was, and now he's a phenom, and everyone in the world wants to sign him next year.
Well, what would be more exciting? Going to a Champions Tour, like, PGA event, or like maybe a Nike Tour, like, or what is it, the Nationwide Tour?
Yeah.
Seeing some young up and comers. I think the latter would be.
Were you saying
a
the Champions Tour is like the old people,
the seniors? Yeah. All the retired guys. Like, don't
went
care.
To it once. Could have cared less.
Yeah.
Guys can drive the ball about as far as I can.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. They
no,
they,
like, they're way better.
They
than
mash
you.
The ball. They're like 65. They mash the ball. Yeah, no, it's exciting, though. Hopefully, we can get a little more into it. You know what? If the away jersey's cool, maybe I'll get one.
So, that'll be interesting to see. And so, you know what? I'm going to call to our listeners. If you give a fuck about soccer, if you want to hear us talk about EPL or MLS, let us know. Because we skip over it a lot. And we like talking about it.
I love talking about it. And I just feel like other people just haven't got there yet. I know you guys have, but you know, maybe some of our listeners still are like, soccer's stupid.
Dude, we watched a couple of great Premier League games today.
Yeah, it was
I mean,
fun.
Liverpool was handled business. It wasn't exciting, but a couple fun goals. But yeah, seeing like, who was that, Newcastle?
Man United,
which is great for me. We're only 2 points back from them, from the second spot. That's fun, man. It's a great league.
All right, guys. It's time to move on to the Winter Olympics.
The big picture. Wait, what do you call it?
The main event.
Oh, yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. So here we go.
Jimmy Channel's on the screencast.
That's why I don't do the transitions. Good to know.
So here we go. The main events, the Winter Olympics. Have you been watching them? Now, I was out with Jimmy Channel's last night for his birthday. We were up north at a little fishing tournament. We were at a cabin. It was a great time. But somehow, I was the only person who noticed that we let the Olympic like TV show that they created for the American audience run through twice. We watched the entire thing two times, which included mostly figure skating and a little bit of snowboarding. And then I think we were right back to figure skating.
I mean, it was like 2 a.m. by this point, but yeah.
Yeah, we watched the whole thing two times full through.
So is this going to prove your point that nobody really cares at
all? I'm caught up on the Olympics, so I want to know what Barter or tinfoil hat Barter or whatever version of Barter we're getting here.
Cranky Old Man Barter. I mean, there's so many good ones. Let's see what we get.
I love them.
I think no controversy
at all. I
think
that makes me Old Man Barter.
Oh, maybe. But not Cranky Old Man Barter. No. So this is a fourth version.
So, okay. I don't care about curling. I don't care about figure skating. I don't care about the luge. I don't care about the biathlon. I don't care about any of these things.
Are there any left?
But for the 10 minutes that I watch, you know, cross-country skiers go and shoot and then keep skiing, and it's they cut it down, you know, to make it, you know, digestible to watch the women's short program figure skating. It's 3 minutes long. You want to see the U.S. skaters do well, to watch, what was his name, Red Garrett or whatever his name was, the 17-year-old snowboarder doing the slope style, crushing the gold medal, doing some crazy trick that nobody else has ever done. You get a chance to see events that you don't care about that are kind of cool because you only have to digest them for 10 minutes every 4 years.
And they move on.
And then they move on. And there's enough to see. There are some that I don't really care about, but I found myself watching curling. I have a two-week-old, so at the same time, I'm kind of pinned to the couch and we're not really doing anything. I can't take the other kid outside. My two-year-old was entertained by curling because they had, you know, the red rocks, and he was excited that they had red
they
color
clink
on
and
there.
That's fun.
And it's kind of cool. Again, I don't see any reason why you would go out of your way to hate these events, because they're not forcing them on you, but they are on multiple channels if you want to watch something. And they're only on every 4 years, so you really only have to care for a week every 4 years. It's not that big of a time consumer. And some of these events are pretty big. So I think they're fun.
Here's what I think is fun.
They're all fun.
So, like, you know, they try to make it as interesting as possible. So they'll give you these stories on these athletes, right? It's all about the stories. This person came from this, and they conquered this challenge, and here they are fighting for gold for America.
They didn't even have figure skates, and here they are.
They literally, you know, used you know, a sharpened pencil in order to practice their biathlon.
Her
whatever
dad made her first pair of skates out of wood and whatever. Yeah,
you know, these things. And you're so enthralled, and you're into it, and you're following this person, and you think you'll never forget it, and then literally 3 weeks later, you can't remember a single person.
No.
I can't remember a single one of these magical stories from 4 years ago, last Winter Olympics. I don't remember anything.
See, I think I'm going to take the opposite approach of you. I think that actually might be the reason that I don't like the Olympics.
Trying to get personal with it?
Trying to get these stories to make me care about things, and they're like, literally, it's just a bunch of spoiled rich kids who've spent their entire life paying thousands of dollars to be trained by this high-level coach to play a sport that nobody else plays. Now, I will say, I do think that the Winter Olympics are cooler than the Summer Olympics. I really do. I think that many of the events
that's wrong, but that's cool.
No, I think many of the events are better. I think the Summer Olympics have just so many just stupid, boring, worthless events, and we get really excited about swimming, which is kind of boring. The sprinting is cool. It actually is.
Winter Olympics is just, it literally all boils down to how fast can you slip.
Yeah.
Or slide, whichever. It's like, I'm going to slip down this hill the fastest. I'm going to slip down this icy thing. I'm going to slip around this.
And I'm going to use this apparatus instead of this apparatus.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to use this different
thing. How fast can you slide?
And I'm going to go head first.
I do like the snowboarding. I think it's really cool. And I think they're amazing athletes. And I did enjoy watching that, even though, like, every guy fell.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I just think too many of the sports to me don't mean anything to me. And even when I watch it, when I try to get excited about it, I'm like,
But it's not something, this is not a Super Bowl event. These aren't, I realize it's a gold medal and there's all this like faux prestige attached to this, but really the only the people that are competing for Olympic medals care.
Yeah.
But you want to root on, you know, your home country, wherever that may be. The Norwegians are going to win most of the stuff and you just sort of accept that.
Canadians will clean up in a lot of ways. Russians, what are they calling themselves this year? The unincorporated athletes of Russia?
Yeah, they were not. They were
because they're
they
not
were banned.
They're banned.
But then why'd they let them play?
But they didn't want to punish the athletes. They wanted to punish Russia.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're trying to take the honor away from the country and the government and the Olympic body of Russia, and not the individuals who've worked really hard.
Okay. And done a lot of steroids or what?
They probably did a lot
of steroids. Most of them. Yeah. Most of them anyway. If you wanted to make the team, you're going to do steroids.
Yeah.
It's exactly. Just part of the program. But you get to see people, like I said, you don't care about any of these people. Like, we had a guy win silver in luge, singles luge, which is the first person from the United States ever to win a medal in this. That's kind of cool.
It's gold or nothing for me.
But I don't care.
They're a loser if they don't get gold.
I don't care once this is over. So I'm just happy that I'm happy to be there. I'm happy that this guy won. It's cool to see him celebrating with everyone else. I don't understand why there's the vitriol towards the Olympics when you're not forced to watch it. There's plenty of other stuff you can watch. But when you throw it on, it's kind of entertaining for an hour.
What would you rather watch? The Olympics or a reality show filmed in the Olympic, what do they call it? The
the reality show.
Oh, the reality show.
Because they're banging like crazy. Everybody, they use an average of like 37 rubbers per athlete.
Yeah, they're just, that's all.
That's a lot of sex. I can't believe they have that much energy. These people are unbelievable.
They're all shot up with beaver tranks and they're just they're just
like, I'm crazy. But then they're like, wow, everybody's as good as looking as me. Yeah. I've never seen a world like this. Let's all bone.
Yeah.
Let's get that reality show going.
So when I watch that, yeah, I'd watch
the Olympic Village.
I mean,
it's called the Olympic Village.
Honestly,
boom, done.
I would rather
NBC, go.
If my choice, yeah, I like that. But it has to be like MTV or like E.
MTV does it well.
The Olympics would get shut down if,
if
that
we
show
really
aired
knew what
one
was
time.
Going. Yeah.
Hey, so you guys, I'm gonna be honest with you about the Olympics. All right, I'm always like the Scrooge or the
curmudgeon
of the Olympics.
Rain Cloud Eric.
Yeah. I have to tell you guys, I actually very much enjoyed the opening ceremony. Watched the whole thing.
Oh, you know why? They were so simple.
It was simple, but it was cool. And
it was fine.
It was a great showcase of Korea and their history and their culture. It was really fun. I thought they did a great job.
It was interesting to see North Korea and South Korea walk together.
I thought it was cool. It made me happy to see that. So I thought they did a wonderful job with the opening.
The drones were crazy. Really, really cool.
Yeah.
And that's
awesome. The bird thing with the drones. That was insane. Yeah.
It was crazy. And then, so I watched that. I liked it. I've probably watched more in the first few days of the Olympics than I did of all the Summer Olympics combined.
Dude, you just like the Olympics. Would you just admit it?
Dude, no. I'm going to tell you right now, curling is underrated. Olympic curling is underrated to watch on TV.
Nah.
It's underrated.
No, literally, here's the thing.
Isn't the
Wisconsin
brother? The Wisconsin brother. Dude, do they look so Wisconsin?
They look
I watched a guy beat a Norwegian curling team from the United States. He looked like Ron Swanson.
Yep. Yeah. That's
with
a guy.
Mustache.
He's a Wisconsinite. Yeah.
He was great.
He looks like if you went to the police and you're like, someone like tried to kill me. And they're like, what do they look like? And you're like, they look like they're from Wisconsin. And that would be the sketch.
Say no more, fam.
Yeah. We know exactly what this guy looks like.
Yeah,
he's been on our radar.
That guy. Yeah. He's that guy.
He's wanted for stealing cheese all over the state.
Yeah. So here's what it comes down to. The Olympics, I've been too negative. I know everyone just thinks I'm just being a contrarian. You guys always accuse me of that.
You are a contrarian.
You think
and you're sticking
say,
with it, too.
You're a controversy monster.
You think I just say these things just to upset people. And so I will say, I'm sorry. I have been too negative about the Olympics.
Wow.
But literally, if my choice was watching a rerun of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives or the Olympics, I'm watching Triple D.
Take me to Flavortown, baby.
Flavortown. I'd rather go to Flavortown any day than watch any event in the Olympics.
Okay.
And that's not a rip on it. I like TV, so
I think you just really like DDD.
I do. I like that too. Yeah. Like House Hunters International rerun or the
just
Olympics.
Fine. You've seen it before.
I'm probably going to watch House Hunters.
This is the Overwatch or Overcast thing. You're doing it for, you're just going to stick with your guns for attention and not just admit, yeah, it's kind of entertaining.
It's kind of
a cultural phenomenon.
If
the whole world
White
is watching.
Is on. I will actively watch and seek to watch him perform. Sean White. I'll be really excited about that.
That's one thing. Like, I'm never looking at the schedule and planning time to watch.
Oh, no.
For me,
no,
it's like,
no,
I'll
no.
flip it on and
I
have it in the back.
I just hope that when Sean White goes that I just happen to be watching.
Yeah. But, like, speed skating, downhill skiing, like, not slalom or any of that stuff. Like, the full-on downhill skiing, like, they're going 80 miles an hour down the hill. That stuff's really fun and entertaining to watch.
If they gave me, like, the greatest hits and they took all of the puff piece stories out, I'd like the Olympics.
Agreed.
45 times
Agreed.
More.
Agreed. Yeah. I don't
they're going to kill time, though.
If they were like, instead today of watching 2 hours of commercials and puff piece stories and 1 hour of events, we're just going to show you 2 hours of events and 1 hour of commercials, I'd say absolutely.
If you go to NBCSN, that's what you get.
Because I don't want to
There's
places to stream it straight up, unedited.
Which I think it's a huge paradigm shift from what they've done. I think Comcast is doing the whole thing. Like you can stream any event or whatever through the sports. What's the little sidebar on your?
Oh, sports app on Comcast is.
You can
best.
Go and you can go to a lot of these events individually. You can watch replays of them. And like NBCSN today, it was just all events back to back to back. Like there was none of that. None of the cool stories. Like if you're gonna go to Care 11, you're gonna get all the puff pieces. Until you're going to get 10 minutes of action.
It's like, when I was 7, I broke my arm and I couldn't even ski for like 3 weeks. I'm like, okay. Like,
but then my parents flew me in our helicopter to the Mayo Clinic and fixed me up. And then we flew home in a private jet, which wasn't as good as the helicopter, but I managed to survive.
Yeah, I mean, the stories are very rarely interesting. Mm. They're always just like desperately trying to make me think someone is human when I know that they're just there to have sex and accomplish the goals that their parents set for them and have been living vicariously through them.
Dude,
cloud has come in. Dude, that's official.
Tinfoil hat was barter at some points. Oh, anti-Olympic Eric? Holy shit, anti-Olympic dude. Eric. He's on a whole nother level.
He's crazy with this.
Yeah, so sorry guys. I apologize. I know I probably have, everyone's probably tuned out because everyone loves the Olympics so much, but...
But because they do, you don't.
Well, so. Barter was your foil on that one, though.
Yeah, yeah. All right, guys. So I think that's all the time we have this week for the Northeast Podcast. We'll be back with you guys one more episode. It's a 3-episode week, helping you guys out, helping you through the worst month of the year, February.
Dude, Bonics, Olympics.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're doing for the screencast. We'll plan it out in 15 minutes and record it. Let's go.
It's going to be wild. So thanks for listening. We'll be back one more time with our screencast. And thanks for listening to the Northeast Podcast. We'll be right back.